Well, I want to speak this evening on I will send another. The Lord Jesus Christ here in our reading was talking to his disciples, those that had been called by him, those that had implicitly left all to follow him, and all who would follow Christ must follow that same path, dear ones. Leave the world behind. No turning back. Follow Christ. Obey him. Learn from him. Love him. And allow him to lead your life all the way to glory. And they followed him. And yet the Lord knew what was ahead, whether the disciples did not. And he knew that he would go to Calvary, that he must go to Calvary, that there was no other reason why he would come to this earth, no other greater purpose than to bear our sins upon the tree. That he would shed his life's blood. That he would pour out his life unto death. And yet even before he would go this perfect, blessed sacrifice, he told them that he would go, but that he would not leave them as orphans. I wonder what was going through the disciples' minds that night. The night, perhaps even the days after his cross, where his beaten, bloodied, mangled form, this one whom they had seen still storms and raise Lazarus from the dead and heal the sick and drive out demons, and the one that they thought, surely the kingdom of God has come. And yet, as his darkness and the darkness entered upon Christ on the cross, and only John the disciple remained, and all the others fled as the shepherd was smoked, the sheep would scatter. I wonder in the remaining days before his resurrection, or where they were thinking, well, where's our faith? Where's the one that we follow? What does this all mean? And perhaps today, maybe not in the same way as the disciples, but you might be looking out into this world with its evil and its darkness and its pain and its sorrow. And maybe you might be thinking, well, where is the Lord? What is he doing? Where is his hand at work? Where is his power? I want to encourage your hearts with the same way that Christ would encourage the disciples, of talking about the Holy Spirit. I will send another. The helper, the comforter. We can understand different aspects of the Holy Spirit. We can perhaps focus on different aspects, but as it was laid upon my heart only but a week ago, I just felt impressed that I need to think upon and dwell upon and read upon and then preach upon the Holy Spirit. Because, friends, we need him. Not it, him. We need him. We need him today. And he has come. I don't preach to you some vain hope. No, no, no. I proclaim to you that as sure as Christ is on the throne seated at God's right hand, a living, mighty Saviour, as sure and as certain is the Holy Spirit in the world today. As certain as Christ is ruling and reigning and upholding all things and saving men and women all over this earth. As sure is the Holy Spirit in his church today. For he has sent another, a helper, to help them know Christ. And in knowing him, you can't know Christ fully without loving him. You can't love him without wanting to live for him. You can't live for him without being able to live by him. Oh, that blessed Son of God. Christ in John 14 is saying that he must go in order for his finished work on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, to begin. What Christ had finished for our salvation, the Holy Spirit would come to begin and complete in the world. He's in the world today, friends, the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's even among us. I know it, for Jesus said so. A helper, a comforter, an advocate, a teacher, a guide, a counselor, the wonderful names of the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, paraclete or parakletos. It describes, as one scholar was saying, and J.I. Packer, I also read of him saying, that it back in the New Testament times, if a little ship was in distress, a bigger ship called a parakletos would be sent to come alongside, to tie on and help the little ship to safety. The paraclete literally means the one who comes alongside and helps. That is who the Holy Spirit is. He is one like Christ, and yet it is not Christ. But as I hope to reveal to you, he is one that always wants to reveal Christ. He comes alongside, but in a way, he comes within to dwell. As Jesus said, the Father and the Son would make their home in those who believe on him. Did you know that the sovereign, glorious, eternal, begotten Son and the Father have desired to make their home in you and me? Us worms of earth, us sinful, us fallen, unclean, and yet through the cross of Christ, through the resurrection, through his life, death, resurrection, and abiding prayerful intercession, Christ has come within us by his Spirit. Do you realize, friends, the glory of your faith? The glory of our faith. A faith like no other faith. There's many faiths out there today. Many paths, it seems, people would say. But no. Only one way. Only one God. In three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And only one God who would leave his rightful place of glory and come and dwell among men and women. You'll look in vain to find another God that would come to us. You'll find that most gods require us to go to them. Not our God. Not the living God. not the one true and living God. No. Not only does he come to the earth, but this God comes within. And he comes that he might dwell with us, and we with him. See, the Holy Spirit was at work at the beginning, in creation, hovering, before anything was made. The Holy Spirit was at work. And so the Holy Spirit has always been at work in this earth, dear ones. And so I don't have any doubt that he is not at work today. He is at work. And all the work that he does is mighty. All powerful. That same Spirit that breathed upon this voidless, formless earth, hovering over the waters and brought new life. Brought things out of nothing, is the same Spirit that can raise men and women who are dead in trespasses and sins to new life. From a heart of unbelief to belief. From being far to being brought near through the blood. Oh, the mighty Holy Spirit. Jesus says that he must go. For if he does not go, the Helper will not come. But if he goes, he will send him to us. Who is he? He's the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not a thing or a force or another God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has attributes. He does works. He is eternal. He is personal to all who know him. How else can he be a comforter, a guide, a teacher, an instructor? How else can he empower us, strengthen us, if he is not a person? And yet we know he is one person, distinct but indivisible, from two other persons, in essence co-eternal with the Father and the Son. One God, three persons, blessed Trinity. This is our God. This is the God of all creation. The creeds, these councils of the early church, came together to refute error and to proclaim and understand the scriptures truly, that it might be a pathway for the rest of the ages of the church. And God used these great men to explain our faith. Nicene Creed says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he's worshipped and glorified. You see, he's no less. He's no more. He is co-equal. Why is it important that we understand the Holy Spirit is not a thing, not a force? Because I want you and me to understand that the Holy Spirit that is at work in your life and my life and in the church today is God. God is at work. God indwells you and me. And therefore, we have every hope and every confidence and every surety and every grace and everything that we could ever need. If we have God, we have everything. Oh. The Athanasian Creed, the Holy Ghost is of the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. One Father, not three. One Son, not three. One Holy Spirit, not three. The unity of the Trinity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. You see, we're not Unitarian. God is only one person. Jesus Christ is not God. We're not tritheism. Three gods. No, we are Trinitarian. And so we understand this blessed person of the Holy Spirit is a person. A person to you and to me, and therefore he is personal to you and to me. He knows everything about you and me. He knows all that we need. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. He is a personal person to you and me. But he's not just a normal person. He is God. I don't know if you have floodlights on this church as you come here, but the purpose of floodlights is to not bring focus upon themselves, but to bring attention upon those that they alight upon. Just like a lighthouse lights upon the ocean that the ships might see the light and avoid the rocks. You know, this wonderful Holy Spirit. Jesus says, he will glorify me. He will take of mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has are mine. This blessed person, in his wonderful ways, he, as it were, moves aside. And he shines the light upon Jesus. How do you know that you are living a life in the Spirit, that you are walking in the Spirit? Well, you ought to be knowing more of Jesus. You ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, anything that does not bring attention upon Christ is not the Holy Spirit. But that which causes our affections to stir, our wills to change, our desires to grow, our understanding and our minds to be illuminated and informed upon Jesus, you can be sure, is the Holy Spirit at work in you and me. He hides himself and reveals another. What does he do, this Holy Spirit, this blessed person? He comes to bring God's presence to God's people. How do you know and experience the living Christ in his power, in his grace, in his strength and his might? How could the Apostle Paul know that Christ strengthens me or Christ upholds me? How do we know that we're upheld and that we're loved by God? Well, we understand it through the cross, but we experience it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals and mediates Christ to you and me. He brings Christ to you and me. The presence of Christ. The glory of Christ. the Holy Spirit loves to cause you to fall more in love with Jesus. He loves to reveal Him. He wants you to obey this precious Word of God that He inspired through men. He wants you to walk in the ways of God, for He is God. And you see, the reason it's so important to understand that He is a person and that He brings the presence of God to us is so that we recognize that the reason that we know the Spirit and are to live in the Spirit is all that it might come back to Him. You see, it's not a man-centered understanding. It's not like we are given some power that we might go around and do what we want to do and see wonderful things, as wonderful as they can be. But no, it's that we might bring glory and honor to Jesus. That we might point men and women to Christ. That we might know Him. You see, this unity, that when you have the Spirit within you, you have the presence of Christ. And when you have Christ, you have the Father. You can't approach the Father but through the Son. You can't know the Son but through the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't divide them, dear ones. You can't separate their work and their will and their purpose. But the Holy Spirit comes. Oh, I don't have even time to begin to tell you all that He does. The sermon can only begin to explain the blessed Holy Spirit. But I want you to want Him. I want you to want the Holy Spirit more in your life than ever before. For I look out to a world that is dark and evil and wicked. And so I was dwelling upon this today, where we see laws being passed in our land that go against God's precious word, where we see the wickedness of this world, the fallenness of man, the growth of sin, as the scriptures say, men's hearts will grow worse and worse. As we see wars and rumors of wars, as we look upon this earth, we can lose hope, we can get discouraged, we can become defeated. But no, no, no. Because the Holy Spirit of God is at work in His church. And I believe that the same Spirit of God that came upon those disciples in the upper room and caused them to go and change this world and turn it upside down, in the midst of persecution and terror and evil, and throughout church history where it seems the darkness has grown and it seems like the light of the church is flickering and growing dim. Ah, but the Holy Spirit, who comes upon His people, who empowers His people, and He sends His church out in power to preach the gospel in power, to witness for Christ in power. Oh, my hope is not in what I see. My hope is in Him who indwells me. My hope is in Him who reigns above me. My hope is in the God of it all. And I come to a church tonight and you might be feeling defeated and thinking, what is going on? And my heart to you is, know and want and pray for the Holy Spirit. For we need Him in the church. He is the only one that convicts men and women of sin. He is the only one that can reveal Christ to the hardest and darkest and furthest of sinners. Ah, but the Holy Spirit, He is that same Spirit that could take a Saul of Tarsus and make him an apostle of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to give new life. What has he done in your heart and mine? Think where you was in the world. No care for God. No desire to know him, to love him, to follow him, to obey him. Ah, but now you're in his house. Now you're singing his praises. Now you're living for his glory. This is the Holy Spirit bringing you life where there's death. It's the same Holy Spirit that came upon Christ when he went out and he raised the dead and he healed the sick and he delivered demons from people that were possessed. This is the same Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit who sanctifies. The Holy Spirit that changes my stubborn and wretched will to want the things of God. To want to walk in God's ways. Do you want to walk in God's ways? Do you want to please God? Ah, no, then that is the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. He's sanctifying you. He's changing you to love sin less, to love God more. This Holy Spirit that is making us and will make us glorious like Jesus. The Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of adoption. He's the one by which we cry, Abba Father. The one by which we know we are children of God. How do you know that you're a child of God? How do you know and experience it? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that causes me and you to fall in love with this precious, blessed, eternal truth. And this is the same Holy Spirit that brings every promise to pass. Not one of these shall fail, for the Holy Spirit is God, and he will bring it to pass. He will ensure that all that Christ the Son spoke will come to pass. The Holy Spirit. You see, he indwells us, dear ones. He has come. In the last days, said Joel the prophet in the Old Testament, under the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And he goes on to say, they will prophesy, they will dream dreams, they'll see visions. But it's this blessed Holy Spirit who comes to glorify Christ on the earth. Briefly, in closing, you know, why do we see these amazing works of God throughout church history, revival? Why do we have the Acts of the Apostle? One person said to me, it's to be a book that's historically true, but we mustn't grow our doctrine from it. I personally don't believe in that. Because I don't see there where it says you can't receive your doctrine from the power and work of the Holy Spirit in his church. But what I want to say to you and to me today, I long for revival, I pray for revival, but I used to think that revival was an extraordinary work. But as I read of the God of this book, of the God of this creation, of the God of your life and my life, I realize actually revival is the church being where she was always meant to be. Revival is what Christ has purchased her to be. A power upon the earth. Bring in the glory and the power of the gospel to men and women. Revival is where the Holy Spirit is continually working and desiring and wanting the church to be, for you and me to be. Because whenever I read this book, I don't know about you, but this book always calls me higher. It always calls me deeper. It always calls me wider into the glory of my God. The Holy Spirit wants to empower That's his purpose, to empower his church to bring Christ's presence, his finished work upon the earth. You see, the disciples, Jesus gave them the Great Commission. But did you know that before he gave them the Great Commission, before it could be realized, he had to give them the great condition? The end of Luke, what does Jesus say to his disciples? Wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and you shall be my witnesses. Friends, we can only be effective and mighty witnesses for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how we need him today. How we need him. Jesus said to his disciples, talking about prayer, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What is my application for you and me? Want the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Because friends, as I look out into a broken world, I don't have the answer. We can quite rightly see our governments, our leaders don't have the answer. They cannot meet the need of this sinful, broken world that's in the clutches of Satan. You might find that startling, but the Bible says this world is in the lap of the wicked one. But oh, when we realize that, it causes us to fall on our knees. And like those disciples in the upper room, pray for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, and when he comes in power, when he comes in all of his force and will and purpose, there is not a scheme or power of hell that can prevent his work. There is not a ruler or reigner, I don't care if it's Putin, I don't care who it is, no one can stand against the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's God. It's God. It's God coming upon his church. God empowering his church. Oh, I long to see the church in power. Don't you? You might think, oh, what can I do? You can pray for the Holy Spirit. Did you know that doesn't matter how long you have been walking with Jesus, and I'm sure much longer than me. And probably, I'm sure you know Christ much more than me, but I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit wants to do more in your life. He wants to fill you with more power. Because those disciples before Pentecost prayed and the Holy Spirit came, but then we read after when persecution rose, they prayed, and the Holy Spirit came. You see, we are to be praying for the Holy Spirit. We are to be walking in the Holy Spirit, that we might work in the Holy Spirit. I long to see healings, miracles, signs, wonders that point people to a living and mighty and enthroned Savior. That people realize that Christ is not just some person, but he is the only begotten Son of God, that He is the Saviour of the world, that He is the one true living God, that He is far above all, that He is name above all names. Oh, I long for the church. And friends, my prayer was even as I am preaching to you tonight, that the Holy Spirit might be showing you these things aren't the thoughts of Aaron. They're not my opinions. They're not my words. This is the promise of the Father. This is the purchase of the Son. This is the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon His church, to come upon His people. It's His prayer and His desire that you might know the Spirit of God in your life. And I believe that there is a sound of an abundance of rain. I believe that there is a sound of a going in the mulberry trees. I believe that there is something starting to change. I believe that God is wanting to stir the church that has perhaps fallen away from where she should be, perhaps has become too worldly, too weak. I believe that God is stirring the hearts of His people again to cry and to pray and to seek for the Holy Spirit, that He might come and that He might come in power, that He might come upon your life and empower you like never before, and you will go out in Him, that you might see souls won for Christ, that I might see souls won for Christ, that we might plunder hell and populate heaven with souls, that the church would grow and grow and grow. That is my prayer. That is my plea. But I believe that that is the will and purpose and desire of Almighty God, that His Holy Spirit might come. When was the last time that you really desired the Holy Spirit? Because I believe, friends, that nothing and no one else can meet the evil of this hour but the Holy Spirit. He is in the world, in His church. He indwells us, but oh, He wants to do so much more through you and in you and in His church, in His power, in His gifts, in His ministry, in His grace. He wants to help you, come alongside you, guide you, whatever you are facing, dear one, whatever you are going through. I want you to know that God indwells you, and that God wants to strengthen you and help you and comfort you and strengthen you. He wants to empower you. He wants to lead you. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use us. Oh, Jesus said to His disciples, I will send another. He is in us. He is with us. And He wants to work through us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and I believe You have spoken to us tonight. And my prayer is, oh, that You would come. Come, wind of God. Come. Come and empower Your church in these days to withstand the evil, the schemes of Satan, the works of man. Come, Holy Spirit, upon this earth. Come upon Your church. Oh, we pray the promise of the Father. We come through the work, the finished work of the Son, and we ask for the Holy Spirit. Lord, send revival. Start the work in us. Lord, may this church know such a move of your Spirit that will affect this community. May you so come upon these people as they go into the secret place, as they come to the prayer meeting, as they seek you. May they begin to see your mighty hand at work in their lives. That this church will be filled with the presence of God and with souls being drawn into that invincible calling and grace. O Lord, in these days we look to our Lord Jesus Christ on the throne. Oh, come, send your Spirit in power. He who indwells us, may he come upon us. May he move us. May he change us. May he mold us. May he shape us. May he work through us. May we see signs and wonders through the preaching of your precious word and the witness of your people. Oh, Lord, it's our humble plea. And we ask it. In Jesus' name, to bring glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.